but we were able to delay the discussion of the bill by some point that I raised that was not properly presented in the House. And came to the House, I think, in November. We got it put off for February next year. Then Ms. Mandaranaike made her first mistake. She wasn't highlighting. She sent word to forget that bill and bring a bill to nationalize it, which was the rallying point we used. The press came entirely on our side when it was for the press council bill. They were going to compromise. But nationalization they opposed. The entire press was along. The Sangha. And the group led by Mr. C.P. De Silva on strength. They thought if this is passed, then we also finish.
Is it correct to say that in addition to this, various steps she had taken had antagonized the Kalagama group within the Senate?
No, I don't think so.
It was this press issue that...
No, firstly, it was the taking of the Marxists.
Mm-hmm.
That was antagonizing, but they didn't know how to go. They were not sufficiently united to leave.
I heard a story about them having dismissed Amaravansa or something.
No.
Amaravansa.
No. That was afterwards. The election had come.
Oh, I see.
They were a teacher around the world. It was after December 3rd.
And what factors do you think swung the vote in your favor in 65? The young vote coming to
in
1965.
Well, again, they had been in office for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. But I was wondering whether in certain constituencies any other factors operated to benefit you.
The fact that we had all the minorities with us.
Even the Muslims.
By and large, the Muslims, the Indians, the Tamils, Catholics.
Does that mean that before this, say in 60 and 56, the Muslims were not
there? No, the Muslims. The Indians were not there. The Tamils were not there. Catholics were divided. Muslims also may have been divided. When I say minority, I don't mean 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, they were with us. They were not with us in 56. Not with us in 60 either.
Mm-hmm.
Both elections were 60.
Did the fact that Ashoka Karunaratne had joined the UNC help you in any way?
It must have helped, but I won't say it was deciding help.
Mm-hmm. In how many constituencies does the Indian vote count?
Well, in the plantation areas, I don't know the exact number.
In fact, what is your position on the question of having a separate electorate for those who get children with dementia?
We would like them to be in the same electorate, but we can have multi-seats,
mm-hmm.
not on a separate voting list.
In that sense, then, you are in agreement with both Parliament's Party and Abhijit's Party?
And that we are in agreement, that's the suggestion that I have made.
Sorry?
The suggestion I have made.
Mm-hmm.
They are agreeable with me.
In your opinion, what has led the SLSP and others to demand a separate election?
They may be thinking that if you have one election, the Indian vote will be in our favor.
Multi-member
or one electorate.
Mm-hmm.
And that will win those seats.
Yes, I think.
They want to win those seats and let the Indians vote for anybody they wish in their seats.
But isn't this ironical because I believe that in the late 40s, the LSSP at any rate was against the separate
electorate. I don't think the LSSP is for, they have not expressed it.
hasn't there been some hostility among Kandians in the UNP to the suggestion that you have Maathi members? Mm-hmm. I was wondering about this because Mr. Ratnayak voted against the implementation bill.
Ratnayak is president, he could vote.
But he is against
the bill. He is against the bill. Mm-hmm. That bill didn't deal with representation.
Pardon?
That bill didn't deal with representation.
But doesn't he reflect a certain section of
the... No, that is against the agreement and the implementation of the agreement. You haven't come to the state of representation yet.
And what does the implementation of the agreement do? You...
granting of citizenship to a certain number and sending away of the balance.
Sending away or granting them Indian registration while they're here?
Yeah.
Isn't there a difference? I mean, that's what some of the Indians may
say. Me?
That just putting them on the roll as Indian citizens doesn't physically transfer them to India. Doesn't mean repatriation.
That's right.
That means they might still wait in Ceylon as Indian citizens.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Then in other words, the difference between you and, say, the SLSP is that they want a whole mass of non-Ceylonese Indian laborers out of Ceylon.
No, no. We also want them out. Mm-hmm. They say you must send out a certain number a year. We have no objection to that number, but we must give them the money to go. We can't find the money. He may send you on more. So we don't want to be bound by a number.
You want to have a flexible idea.
But we have agreed to the proportion. If you give so many Indian citizenship and send so many away, and so many African Ceylon citizens, the proportion will be maintained.
And doesn't it have the added benefit that you can control the flow, and if you feel that you need some a certain amount here as laborers on the estate, you can keep them?
Yeah, that's why you want the flexibility.
I'm sorry, I haven't completed the question of party organization. I was wondering how important a role the annual conference plays.
We haven't been able to make it so important as, for instance, a party conference in America or England. In the opposition time, it is very important. But once we became a government, or the government earlier, the party is not so important as far as policy is concerned, because the government takes the decision.
In the opposition time, did it have a great influence on in policy formulation?
Yes, much more. Because the leaders were always with the party, and in fact the views of the party. Now the leaders are in the government. And it's always a moot question how far a party can influence the government. The government and the party are one, even England is so.
But is it correct to say that by and large the decision making power rests in a small body, in the party leadership, even in times of opposition?
In times of opposition, yes, but in times of government, it rests in the cabinet. Prime Minister and the Cabinet.
Do you have any full-time professional workers?
We have, yes.
Have they increased over the years? And do you have more now than you did, say, in 47, 52?
In opposition we have, but not once you form the government.
Do you feel that the Youth League organization also has improved in recent years?
I think the whole party deteriorates when you are in the government.
Mm-hmm.
Party has second class.
Isn't that natural? I suppose you have to attend to government business.
And in the opposition, your party and the supporters are living on hope. When you're in government, they want to see the results immediately.
I'm interested in some incident in the 50s. I don't know, and it's somewhat delicate subjects, but the question of succession when Mr. B.S.L. Nayaka died. Was there any party conference?
I think some of the MPs met unofficially at the party conference. You were the government.
Was there a division of opinion on this issue?
The MPs, I think, by and large, vast majority were from Islam.
This meant that he jumped over Sir John, who was leader of the house.
Yes.
And what led Mr. R.G. Sen to leave the party eventually?
He left in Sir John for a long time.
Yes. But I was wondering whether the seeds were laid at this time because R.G. was an open opponent of Sir John.
No. He was very friendly with Sir John. He worked with Sir John against the decision.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
After Dudley became Prime Minister.
But doesn't he say something critical that Sir John says something critical of R.G. in the Premier Stakes, that publication?
Yes, because R.G. wanted Dudley Sen Nayaka as Prime Minister after the father's death.
Mm-hmm.
After Mr. D.S. Sen Nayaka's death. But once Dudley became Prime Minister, he worked against him with Sir John.
And then what led to the split between the two of them?
Between?
Sir John and R.G.
Then when Sir John became Prime Minister, mm-hmm. he was strongly for Sir John after that resigned. He worked against Sir John.
This has nothing to do with the China-Ceylon trade cut?
No.
If I just may take that up, what are your views on that fact at that stage?
I was opposed to it.
On what grounds?
One chief ground being that I felt to be completely under China's domination. Suddenly, if you were in the UNO, they were trying to get into the UNO, you could not have entered into the pact. Because the UN had passed a resolution against such a pact. And thirdly, I thought it not fair for us to help with raw material which can be used in a war. I didn't mind China buying the open market, but not a matter of war.
In retrospect, have you any comments to add on?
Very difficult to say. Nobody has worked out the mechanics of it. Whether you could earn more dollars. Decision is taken, I accept it.
Because I read an article somewhere by an Indian which seems to show that while at the initial stage it was advantageous to Ceylon at least in terms of trade and economy and the balance, at the present moment gradually that's strong-moving in China's
way. I can't say, I'm not quite sure. These barter games are very difficult to work out.
With reference to the financial and economic policies of the UNP in that first period, 47 to 56, looking back, what would you say were the chief objectives and main problems you face?
The last year or two, the main problem was the rise in the cost of imports, particularly of rice. And gradually increasing budgetary deficits. First few years we had very little problems.
I was wondering whether there was insufficient capital investment in that period.
In what? In industry?
Yes.
Well, it's a very difficult period, it's very easy now to criticize. But there was no know-how, there was no machinery. Spare parts or raw material in Europe was just recovering. We can get even a sewing machine or a printing machine. They've all been used for the factories of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Our people also didn't have the know-how, they were not the climate. Landed the properties or estates were more profitable. But now the whole tempo is different.
I think something by reading just a line in Monitoring Class, and he says that the policy lacks a specific direction. But I was wondering whether you would comment on that.
We were the first army to have a plan in the whole of Asia. Planning was new then, apart from the Soviet Union.
But was it so much a plan as just a collection of...
Even so, you know, other governments didn't have anything left. Think in terms of a plan. Then we got all the world back and they produced it all. Now everybody's talking of plans. You must have the men to prepare the plan, experts, nations, economists. We asked the ministers to prepare the plan, it all put together in the 6-year plan. Then we got all the world back, the team. They produced a very useful book. India came much later. Other countries are not even free.
What led to the rice subsidy? Was it in 1951?
Rice subsidy came like this. When government imported food during the war, they subsidized some of the more expensive foods with the cheaper foods.
Mm-hmm.
And that kept on after the war.
There was a guaranteed price too during
yes.
the war. But wasn't there one
state
somewhere in 50 when a bigger step was taken and a bigger subsidy given?
During the war we didn't know what was happening. We all one bag, as it were, all food was imported together. And they decided to select a certain figure. Then after I became finance minister, I regularly put in the budget. It wasn't in the budget during the war. Then we knew exactly what we spent for rice, what we spent for sugar, what we spent so and so. And they continued that, making a profit in sugar and subsidizing rice with that.
Mm-hmm.
So off and on the subsidy raised, lower, raised, lower, and so on. Not knowing the disastrous which will have later.
Mm-hmm. But you say you didn't realize that the cost will be...
The cost of rice will go higher so much.
But I think somewhere just after Mr. Stenmaker died, when Ratnayake was Minister of Home Affairs, there was a raise in the subsidy.
What raise in
the
subsidy?
The price of rice was brought down.
Yes, it was brought down 25 cents, the lowest.
What led to that step?
Well, somebody may have suggested it, why not 25? The subsidy wasn't much there. He made the profit on the sugar. He bought it. 35 or 40 cents, sold at 25 cents. So it didn't matter. But Mr. Dadasanaga, first year, the cost rose to 70 cents. Owing to the Korean War. That's the time we began to think of it. And we decided to raise the price to 70 cents. Selling price. Or the Hartal and resignation and so on. That is the time the rice became an issue before that it wasn't.
Were you in favor of raising it to
70 cents? I was for, you know, we had a budget deficit.
Yes.
I said, I can't as finance minister have a deficit of more than so much. I don't care what you do. If you want to raise the price of rice, I'm in favor of it. I was not based on food. But I was not going to have a deficit of more than a certain amount, 80 million. the consensus was that Paisabhai had to be raised, and I supported it.
How effective and widespread was the harsha?
If he took earlier steps, that could have been stopped. Really. Started it like it is.
Coming on to 56, I always wondered why cabinet was dissolved 1 year earlier and government was dissolved 1 year earlier.
56. When would it have been dissolved otherwise?
57.
I think Sir John found the forces gathering against him. He found that beat at that time. Yes, 1 year.
I was wondering whether he, whether at that stage he was getting a bit scared that Mr. Dandasekaran's campaign against him would have some effect.
That also, yes. And they were getting together. At the time he dissolved, they were not together.
Pardon?
At the time he dissolved, the opposition are not together. Mm-hmm. They got together after he dissolved. He didn't know they got together so quickly. Mm-hmm. He thought I had the election before they get together. Mm-hmm. Some people have not seen it.
End of interview 1 with J.R. Jayavardhana on the 6th of January, 1968.